where the news comes to talk. It's the Roundtable. Round one at 7:45. Round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning.
On round one today, let's say good morning to Christy Blatchford from the National Post. Jerry Agar's here from the Jerry Agar Show. Amanda Galbraith with Navigator Communications and formerly in communications for the mayor of Toronto. Michael Tobe used to write speeches for Stephen Harper. Now he has a somewhat more sedate existence. Actually, I imagine that was a fairly sedate thing. Didn't he command that you write opaque things for him?
To some extent. You know, it was interesting, the days I was there, not to waste too much time, we didn't actually meet with him on a regular basis. That started years after I left. It was actually very infrequent with him. We would usually meet with basically the senior level people once in a while, but generally speaking, it was the little group that met on a regular basis.
I miss Stephen Harper.
As do
Same.
I.
Same.
All right. Let's
Jerry.
Well, I thought it went without saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. All right. Do we need pretty bathrooms to make bullied kids feel better? It sounds like one of those sweet and precious things. But then, you know, I've heard from some people this morning who said, I used to hide out in the bathroom when I was in high school. And if there'd been an inspirational message on the door of the stall rather than, you know, you suck, I might have felt better. Amanda?
Actually, I was good with this. I thought, listen, I mean, right now, God knows what's written inside of some of those bathrooms. So if someone wants to spend some time painting something inspirational, like, more power to you. She's raising the money privately, so it's not taking away from, like, books and pens and things in the school. So I think it's great.
Christy, this is a mom of three girls in Durham, and she started with one bathroom at one of her girls' schools, and now there's, like, 100 requests for her to cheer up a bunch of other school bathrooms.
I think it's a very cool idea myself, too. I mean, I hate the sort of trite slogans, but they're certainly positive, and that's part of what she's trying to do is make these places a little more cheerful. So I'm with Amanda. She's using private money. She's doing it herself. More power to her.
Although I have to think, Michael, that the better strategy is we've got to find a way to get people to stop bullying rather than finding a more pleasant way to make the bathroom if you're hiding.
Yes, I think that would certainly be part of it. But look, I'm sort of in agreement with everyone else. It's not harmful. As long as it's being done with private funds, I really don't have a big issue with it. So, yeah, it's fine.
It's not an either-or situation, John.
Right.
Okay, I think you can do both.
You can. I just hope that we're tackling it on the front where it's going to be it's going to hopefully stop bullying.
You know, I was in a place to buy a card the other day, and you know there's a whole new section of cards. You know, there's birthday, anniversary, whatever special day it is, and now there's the support section.
Really?
Yep.
Support in what situations?
In all situations, John, because we always should support one another.
Okay. Well, actually, you would like the card store that I go to across the street from the St. Clair subway station, because their cards are downright rude.
Yes, I do like it. I've been there.
Okay. What do we make of, not really related, but I guess this is another one of these soft touch stories. Gender-neutral baby names are on the rise. Parents giving their kids names like Royal, Charlie, Salem, Skylar, Justice, Oakley. And this is just in case, you know, they get to a certain age and they decide, I don't want to be a boy, I want to be a girl. So
what's a gender-neutral name?
A name that could apply to anybody. Like Leslie.
That's my middle name, by the way.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Your name is Leslie?
Gerald
yeah.
Leslie?
Oh.
Yes, that's
Ooh.
It.
Gerald.
Yeah.
Very
Sounds
fancy.
Nice when you say it.
I know.
Yeah.
She trilled modestly.
Modesty is not my strong suit.
All right.
Nor should it be.
I think the whole naming people unconventional names, names that are not spelled properly, is just a setting everyone up for, like, failure. It drives me nuts. I strongly believe in the Supreme Court Justice Test, which is when you're going to name your kid, it should be like Supreme Court Justice Gerald Leslie. That works. Supreme
okay.
Court Justice.
Not Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels does not work.
Superior Court.
Yeah, sure. Court of Appeal. No. So I really, but I do get, like, Ashley, I love Gone with the Wind. Ashley was a male name. Now it's sort of a female name and not. So I do think things move, but we should be very cautious about, you know, things with eyes and misspelling.
I don't understand why on television the otherwise hardcore female detective has to be named Frankie or Jack or something like that. Yeah. Why can't she be Susan?
Sure.
All right. Are we further wussifying our society by using gender-neutral names?
I don't know if I go that far, but at the same time, I don't really think there's a big need for it one way or the other. Again, it's a first world problem. Is this really such a major issue? when we're talking about the size of government, taxation, foreign policy, possibilities of wars. We're worried about gender neutral names. I don't see the issue. I really don't.
Well, I don't worry about it, but I mean, people their stuff when a couple in High Park refused to tell anybody if they had a boy or a girl.
Because that's what we've come down to in society. Exactly. As I said, it's a first world problem. Is this really such a big issue? Anyway, look, it's up to the parents. They want to do it, fine.
Christy? Yeah, and those parents that you mentioned, as I recall the stories about them, were not just not telling people what the gender of their baby was. They were in some ways kind of actively, I don't know. I considered it a form of almost of child abuse. And their children, there was a follow-up story to that family. Their children have turned out to be, as I imagine they anticipated and predicted, and perhaps wanted, very confused on gender issues at a very early age. So I don't think names have anything to do with that, and that couple would just sort of fits in the story.
It's lifestyle as opposed to name.
Yeah, I agree.
The Downtown Business Improvement Association has installed planters in front of Commerce's on Bloor Street in order to discourage homeless people from camping out. There was one guy in particular. Actually, this is Young Street, I think. It's Tim Hortons at Victoria and Dundas Streets. There you go. And this guy was parking himself in front of a Tim Hortons every single day, and they finally decided, let's put a planter where he would normally be, and he'll have to go somewhere else. Amanda, they insist that they're merely trying to encourage him toward better housing.
So when you kind of read it initially, you think, oh, what a heartless organization. This is awful. And then I actually read the story. And they're working in concert with other groups to get him off the street. They've got a housing unit set up for him. So I think without those other supports, I'd say it sounds heartless. If this is part of an effort that's recommended by folks that have been directly working with this guy, then I think it's worth a try, only because otherwise this man will probably die on the street, and that's a travesty, and we should make every effort.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think, like, on surface, it sounds concerning, but if this stuff is done correctly, then, you know, I think they should try, because otherwise this guy's just going to live the rest of his days like that, and that's not fair either.
And anybody who wants to spend their time looking down on Tim's or the BIA should ask themselves whether the guy can sleep in front of the door to their house. Would a woman like to leave her home every morning having to step over the homeless guy? Would the single guy who has an apartment think it might be a bit of a buzzkill if he invites a woman over and she has to step over the homeless guy in order to get into the apartment? I mean, there's a double standard that people employ here, where they will look down on Tim's and the BIA for trying to clean up the sidewalk in front of their business, but they'd never put up with it at their home.
And Christy, there are no easy answers on this one, because certainly whenever I'm walking from our studios in downtown Toronto through the underpasses under the Gardner Expressway, there are encampments, and there'll be like three or four people, and each of them has their own shelter and a sleeping bag and a bunch of food and water, and they throw a blanket over it and go off somewhere else during the daytime. It's not exactly pretty.
Yeah, but it's not about the prettiness of it.
I know.
It's about the horror of it. I mean, I've lived in Toronto since 1967, and there were no homeless people living on the street. I don't know all of the reasons why. And I remember when I went to Europe for the first time, and I was shocked that there were, you know, people living in the streets and begging for money. Well, we are far worse than many European cities now. We have not got a handle on this problem. I don't think the BIA in this instance is at all the bad guy, and unless the fellow who was interviewed for the story is completely talking through his hat, it sounds as though they're trying to actually help this young man. And the planter is just to kind of push him more towards accepting a housing unit. We have to do more, and people should not be living on the streets the way they are. It breaks your bloody heart every time you see them.
Bill Murray wrote a very short editorial, and it was...
That would be because he's not actually a writer or a...
No, but
thanks for taking my line.
But I think he hits on an interesting point, which is this. It's all about the kids who are going to be marching in Washington tomorrow, and there's some Toronto and Canadian kids who are going down. We'll talk to one of them in the next hour. But Bill Murray points out that the very people who are poo-pooing these kids think that they ended all injustice and stopped a war in the 1960s, and now they've grown up to be these cranky old boomers who are like, oh, kids, what does a 17-year-old know about guns? Mm-hmm. He's got a point.
Sure. And look, obviously you can make a historical analogy from that point to the other. And yes, you're right. People get more cynical as they get older. It's true. And I love when people deny it. I get more cynical as I get older. It's perfectly fine. You know, you're looking at things in a different prism and a different lens, and I get that. The only thing I would say here is to make the correlation, as Murray does, I think could be a little bit arguable in some senses, that yes, he's looking at it and saying that, well, this march on Washington will have some momentous importance, you know, that everyone's looking down at something that could be major, could be huge. I don't think people, quite frankly, are as intrigued by issues as they were, say, in the 1960s when they protested the Vietnam War and other things. And I think that this generation looks at life very, very differently. So the piece is fine. I just don't think that necessarily the connection is there.
By the way, it is actually, politically, a much more arduous process to change the Constitution than it is to end a war. Politically, in Washington, some people can decide, in fact, the president can decide, you know what, we're bringing the troops home. That's it. They're bringing the troops home.
Sure.
You can't just say at your presidential desk, we're getting rid of that section of the Constitution. You can't. I mean, the Constitution gets amended. It gets changed. The Second Amendment could get changed. That could happen. But it's not as easy as you might think.
Amanda, it amuses me that people are saying, what do 17-year-old kids know about anything? Then they're liberal puppets. And that is exactly what their parents said about them.
Well, yeah, and obviously they know enough. They're getting shot. Like, I think they know something about this. I think this
I don't think the ones who are marching are getting shot.
Well, some of them actually were.
Thank you.
No, but actually some of them were, with respect. So, I actually think this is a great thing that these kids are doing. I think that they've watched lawmakers year after year after year try and tackle this issue and have done nothing. So if these guys want to step up and do something, this is what we've been calling for a long time. Kid, if you want to do something, put your skin in the game, take some action, good for them.
Stormy Daniels' interview will air on 60 Minutes. Who knew that a porn star was going to talk about an affair with the president on 60 Minutes in conversation with Anderson Cooper? But that will happen if lawyers don't get in the way.
Fake news.
Christy, are you going to watch it?
I'll be watching it, but mostly for Anderson Cooper, I have to say. Yes, thank you, Amanda.
I don't think he'd think the same, but okay.
You know, he's not interested in either of us.
We know. Hello.
We're fine with it.
That's okay.
Yeah, but isn't it sad?
He could be your best friend.
I know, but isn't it sad this is what we've come down to in society? That this is it. I have to watch it because partially I comment on American politics. I write about it, so I have no choice but to listen to this. But it's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense. We've had other presidents who've done similar things with people. We know about JFK, possibly with Marilyn Monroe. We know that George H.W. Bush
had an affair. Possibly.
No. And, well, I'm saying that. Do you have
likely
pictures? Yes. But we have no photographic evidence.
Yes, but they'll cost you a lot of money.
Yes, I agree. And RFK as well, possibly with her as well. George H.W. Bush apparently had an affair for many years with this one woman, which was talked about, but no one ever did anything further. What the hell does
Bill
this
Clinton
matter? Yes, and Bill Clinton, absolutely, with Monica Lewinsky. What the hell does this matter? Honestly. We know that Trump is not perfect. He's far from perfect. Who cares?
She's a porn star. A woman who has sex for money got $130,000 from Trump, and she wants more.
So,
I mean, that's basically the story. I don't understand.
Well, there's also Karen McDougal as well. Do we have to go through this, too? It's nonsense.
All right. Well, I think part of it, though, the fact that he calls them liars. I mean,
sure. He calls everyone liars. What else is new?
He treats this stuff very differently. Although I came home last night, Anderson Cooper was interviewing a playmate where he had an affair. And I was
McDougal.
Like,
yes, McDougal. That's
I was
who
like,
I
which
mentioned.
One was this one? I'm like, how many of them are there? Why are they all being interviewed on CNN?
I guess it's fun to be a billionaire.
Why do you think they're all being interviewed on CNN?
No, but
I mean, that's quite obvious.
But if you
Amanda.
Think about what Trump does, which is like this, he makes mucks up about big, crazy issues that don't materially matter. And then a whole bunch of other stuff that's actually like matters about legislative action, all that kind of stuff happens kind of in the background.
Well, it takes me long for the days, though, when a shut up agreement meant something. You paid somebody off and they shut up.
Exactly.
Now they take the money and they yuck.
I want to go back to where the supporters of Bill Clinton said everybody lies about sex.
That's right.
Catch the round table. Round one at 7:45. Round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. In-depth radio. News Talk 1010.